there, all you hep cats and cool kittens. This is your host, Big Daddy Cool, John B. Pica, and you're listening to The Really Big Show. On today's episode, you're going to hear an audio excerpt from Magician's Assistant School. This is an actual audio recording of one of the workshops that I did for Autumn Morningstar. So sit back, relax, and enjoy about 30 minutes from Magician's Assistant School here on The Really Big Show.
A lot of fun today. We're going to do a lot of different stuff, and by the end of the day here, in the next 3 to 4 hours, you're going to come away having learned the fundamentals, the basics of what is expected and what is required of you to be an effective magician's assistant. The very best place to begin, I guess, is to have a discussion about what magic is. A lot of people believe that magic is just the tricks or the effect of the trick, the big box, the cage where a girl appears, or the basket that swords are stuck through. They believe that that is magic, and that is an aspect of magic. First and foremost, magic is a theatrical tool used to communicate. It can communicate several things. It can tell a story. It can make a statement. It can establish a character or a situation. It can provide a commentary, it can instruct and educate, but above all else, it should entertain. And as a theatrical convention, as a theatrical tool, magic doesn't occur when the magician places a coin in the hand and the hand vanishes. That's the mechanics of the trick. Magic happens in the minds of the audience. And you, as a magician's assistant, are going to help facilitate that. Now, let me just talk about this word assistant. I really dislike that word, because an assistant, you know, the typical belief, the typical image of a magician's assistant is this very beautiful, busty woman, blonde girl in a thong who, you know, bends over to show her breasts or her butt and distract from what is happening on stage. And that has been a stereotypical view of magician's assistant, a stereotype that sadly has been allowed to flourish by other magicians. While there is a time and a place for that, that is not all an assistant is. An assistant should be a performance partner. Write that down. You are a performance partner, which means you share equally in making the magic happen. You see, the character of the magician is someone who is powerful, someone who has power to make impossible and amazing things happen. And you are, as the performance partner, you are a magician as much as your partner is. You wield that same power. You have the power to make amazing, impossible, incredible things happen. And that's important for you to realize that and for you to remember that, because you're going to use that as a foundation for your stage presence, your stage character. Sure, you're going to be helping bring things on and off the set. You're going to be providing misdirection. You're going to be adding dimensions and layers to the magic with dance or vocals or acting or whatever it is unique that you bring to the table. But first and foremost, the magician's assistant is just as much a magician as her performance partner or his performance partner. So that's the first thing that I want you to remember as we delve into this, that you are just as much a magician. Now, I'm going to hand out some material in a moment that helps you establish a character. It's the 12-step program, and it's found in my book, Theatrical Magic. It's published by Leaping Lizards, and if you're looking for a great read, I highly recommend it. Now, the pamphlet that I'm going to hand out is very bare bones. The more detailed and full, in-depth examination of this process is in the book. But I want you to have something to work off of as we talk about this. And we are going to get into some of these character types in a moment. But our main focus is going to be on time, space, and weight. Looking at your specific character's time or speed, your space or your size, and your weight, whether you're light or heavy. Now, all of you ladies look fairly fit and active, and there's no doubt that your weight is very light. And we're not talking about your actual physical attributes. We are going to be talking about establishing characteristics for you to use on stage. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But first and foremost, we're going to talk about focus and poofing. What? What's that? These are two things that you have never heard in any of your acting classes or dance classes. These are two things that no other magician has ever taught you or talked about. And yet these are the two things that are probably most crucial to any successful performance, be it magic, theater, music, or whatnot. And that is the concepts of focus and the poof, or movement. Focus and movement is what we're going to talk about. Let's talk focus first. When I say focus, that is exactly what I mean. Where your gaze, where your eyes are looking. If you are not doing something yourself on stage, if you are not presenting a piece of magic, if you are not dancing, if you are not doing a part, speaking yourself, your focus, your eyes should be locked squarely on whoever is. If that is your magician partner, then when you are on stage with him and you are not involved physically in making something happen right at that moment, your gaze should be locked on him. There are two reasons for this. One, and the primary one, is because that is where the audience attention should be focused. And if you are standing off to the sides, your eyes looking around, your head following, someone in the audience is going to notice that. And they're going to say, what is she looking at? And they're going to look where you're looking. And they're not going to see what happens on stage. They might miss something very important that could mean the difference between them being amazed or not. Means the difference between them being fooled or not. So you're going to throw your focus to the magician. And to do that, let me see if I can demonstrate. If your magician is standing center, you're looking downstage to the audience. To throw your focus, you are just going to turn your eyes and lock onto the center target, onto that magician partner. Now, he or she in turn should also accept the focus from you. And that's something that we're going to get into in a moment with some role playing with you guys, with me, with the other magicians here in the room. We're going to teach you how to throw the focus. And magicians, you're going to learn how to accept the focus. But this is a crucial element. As you stand there, you don't want to slouch. You want to stand tall. At the sake of being rude, lift your chest high. Ladies, especially young girls, sometimes I've noticed this, that women hunch. They're really, and I know why it is, and because I see it in young girls and especially teenagers and college-age girls. For some reason, they are really conscientious about their breasts. I'm just going to lay it out there. I'm not going to be rude, but I'm just going to speak the truth. Don't be. Raise up. Be proud of what Mother Nature gave you. You're beautiful, and we're gonna talk about how to use your sexuality later on down the road. But for now, I want you to imagine that someone is put a hook at the top of your head and attached a piece of string going up into the sky, and they're pulling on it. So that's going to lift everything, your shoulders, your chest, your middle. It's going to elongate your body. This is a powerful stance. Arms slightly back, so you're pushing that chest a little bit more forward. One foot slightly in front of the other. And this position is the power position. Even when you are not in a moment of performing yourself, everything on stage should have a very polished, powerful look. Now, to throw the focus, watch this. You take your stance and throw. You see how this shoulder actually leans into the center point, into the place where I am focusing my attention. Your right foot or your back foot, whichever that might be, if you're on the left, that will be the left. But that's going to, you're going to come up on the ball of your foot just slightly. Now this is going to do two things. It's going to cause the audience's interest to be focused where your interest is focused. And because you are kind of leaning in, that creates an even more powerful dynamic in the audience's mind. One of the easiest ways to get an audience to focus on what you want to focus on, to pay attention, is to lean into them. Now, by leaning into to the point that you're focusing, you're also kind of leaning towards the audience, but it's telling them that this is important. The second thing that this is going to do is going to prevent you from doing the streetwalker pose with one leg cocked and your hip out. You don't want to do that unless it's a part of your character. We're going to talk about that later. But in general, this is not something that you want to be doing. This pose, let's not do it. The second thing it does, it prevents the streetwalker pose, but it also prevents your knees from locking. You've heard stories of people standing on stage, or maybe you haven't, but I'll relay them to you right now. You've heard stories of people standing on stage and standing so long that their knees lock. Circulation stops flowing in their legs, and their legs buckle. They faint. You don't want that to happen, and one of the easiest ways to do it is to place your weight on the balls of your feet, and as you lean in towards your focus point, that's going to force you to keep your knees from buckling. So you can't do it with this leg. And you're going to shift focus again later on. You're not going to stand this way the entire performance, but this is the focus pose. Does that make sense to everyone? Does everyone understand where I'm going with this? Okay, good. We're going to try it. Go ahead and stand up, and let's assume the focus pose. Very good, very good. All right. All right. The second thing that we're going to talk about is movement, or what I call the poof. This is something that is going to seem silly to you at first, but I promise you it is going to make a huge difference in the energy that you have in your movement, and it's going to be a noticeable difference to the audience. They are going to see excitement and energy through your movement with you only doing one simple thing. You're in the focus position. When I say poof, it's this. It's a little explosion in movement. As you go to move to another spot, your knees are going to bend just slightly, and you're going to explode from that position. Almost a small hop. It's called the poof because you are changing positions, you're poofing, and you're going to do this because you are moving to another spot. It gives you energy, it gives you propulsion, and it looks so much better because an object at rest tends to stay at rest, an object in motion tends to stay in motion unless an outside force is acted upon it. So if you're at rest, even if you're in the focus position, now try to step out of that. From a dead stop, your feet are going to feel and look like lead weights. But if you just add a poof, all of a sudden everything's lightened up, everything's unlocked, everything's been given energy, lightness, and propulsion. And that is going to make the difference when you move from place to place, when you're in a stopped position, when you're in a still position, just giving a little hop. So it's bonk, and you're on your way. And believe me, that one little thing will make a huge difference in the way the audience perceives you and perceives the performance in general. All right, well, we're going to talk a moment here about using your own physical attributes.